Good morning. Today is January the 25th, Monday. January's almost gone. Joining us this morning is Mr. Rob Arkley. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian. Good to talk to you.
From a distance. Okay. I think there's a song in there somewhere.
Always.
Yes. Okay. Now, did Winston forewarn you that we have a new book?
No.
Yes, it's called Ever Wonder Why, which kind of runs along the same line. So, Ever Wonder Why Canadians Say Mush to Make Their Sled Dogs Move?
That's such a great question, and I should know that. I have no idea.
The Canadian sled drivers are actually trying to say M-A-R-C-H-O-N-S. You can check that out with your buddies of French origin in Louisiana here, which means let us march in French. The early French Canadians used this command to make their sled dogs go forward. When English-speaking drivers tried to copy the expression, they mispronounced it and later just abbreviated it to mush. How fortunate it has nothing to do with breakfast cereal.
Well, I'm glad I didn't fall into that trap.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So we've had the peaceful transfer of power in Washington. General thoughts, I guess, first about the election in Georgia. Obviously, it didn't go the way that a lot of folks were anticipating, and it went the way a lot of other folks were anticipating. Just a general review, comments about what happened there?
Well, I think it shows what happens to the Republicans when Trump's not on the ticket. And make no mistake, those in the legislature could have changed the whole process that was so screwed up to begin with on the voting and the counting and the mail-in. They didn't. So we got the redundant fact pattern again. So screwed up once, screwed up twice.
Well, at least there is some consistency then.
Yeah, there is. And, you know, the action has for a while been in the states, not in the Congress. And I am looking forward to seeing, with all these administrative things signed by Biden, when the first, the Democrats basically made a pastime of going to court, getting a liberal federal judge to grant a nationwide injunction. And I'm wondering if the Republicans are going to do the same thing.
The economic impacts of President Trump when he came in took a little bit of time. Now with President Biden, how long do you think it's going to take before there's going to be an economic reaction to some of the actions that he's either took last week or will be taking in the upcoming weeks?
Well, the jobs that are going to be lost, I mean, what did he do? Cost 80,000 jobs on his first day. And those were substantially union jobs. So I think those are felt quickly. I doubt if they get a big aid package through quickly. So we'll see. It just remains to be seen. Right now they're doing strident, mostly symbolic things. And I don't know where it goes from here.
Do you think immigration is going to come back on the radar screen as being a hot topic? It kind of dissipated over the last year or years with the construction of the wall. But now that that has been stopped, we're hearing some reports of large groups of folks gathering in Central America anticipating coming north.
Well, I think that's going to happen. I don't think you're going to see a legislative big fix on immigration. I think you might see something happen on DACA. DACA is a little easier to explain and a little more acceptable. I just don't understand this immigration thing when wages are rising. Why are we adding more cheap laborers to the workforce? Why do we want to do that? How is that good for Americans? I guess if you're in business and you your model is cheap labor, but I really don't have great sympathy for you. Tough. Change your model.
You mentioned jobs and compensation. The national minimum wage. You've got some buddies a state or two away that are the state minimum wage is $7.25. The thought of that going to $15 in a relatively compressed period of time. How's that playing out?
What's happened, particularly in Louisiana, is that there's help wanted ads all over the area because people are still getting paid enough not to work that they're just not working at those low, $10 an hour jobs.
Right. So is there concern that it's going to become even more difficult for them to keep their businesses going as it escalates, or do they see that folks will then start moving into the labor pool because it will give them higher compensation than what it is currently?
I don't know. It depends what the Democrats do. They're talking about a universal basic income of $2,000 a month. Well, you're just not going to work then, are you?
Right.
I mean, I think these ramifications are not being thought through very well. How are small businesses doing? Boy, a lot of them are really laboring, and it's not just restaurants. It's a lot of smaller businesses. I think contractors are just having a glorious time. I think the mills are having a glorious time. And it's like if you were big and relatively successful going into this, it's been a boom. And if you were struggling going into it, you might have died.
Right, yeah. I saw some stat that said there were 672,000 businesses in New York and Chicago that don't exist anymore.
It's staggering
number.
Oh, my God. And what they're saying now is that New York won't even get back to pre-pandemic levels till 2025 at the earliest. And I got news for them. I think, what was I reading? This was the biggest displacement event of population since the Dust Bowl.
Right, right. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Arkley. You referenced in the tail end of the last segment the Dust Bowl. Yeah, we obviously didn't live through that. But the trying to draw parallels between what we're dealing with this virus versus 1918 is kind of tough because we didn't have a lot of things that are available to us now, like transportation, like communication. So it's really tough to kind of draw parallels, but when you mentioned the Dust Bowl, now that's something I think that's a little bit different because that was a labor issue that wasn't brought on necessarily by the stock market. It was brought on by some of the environmental things that were going on at the time. Displacing of jobs is a big, big issue, though. California's seeing it happen. Are you sensing that that's happening throughout the rest of the country also? Is that people are relocating to states based on tax structure and things of that nature?
Oh, absolutely. Boy, oh boy, are people moving around because of tax. And the other thing they're doing is besides tax, they're moving into smaller towns. these big towns, the bloom is off, the real estate got too expensive, it's too dangerous. You don't know what group of crazies is not going to want the police funded or that. And so you go to stability of the small town like ours, where common sense does tend to prevail.
Yeah, I've been a proponent of, I don't know, maybe last year or so, is that I think that there's going to be an economic stratification or a stratification of population. But I don't think it's based on race or on economics. I think it's based on urban and non-urban, that there's just, it's just so different. You know, I mean, when you think that a potato comes out of a bag and the milk comes out of a carton, there's just a disconnect. And it, not that it's wrong, it's just so different. Just kind of like you put me in New York City and I'm going to make it about a half a day and then I'm going to go bonkers and got to get out. I mean, it's just so different.
Well, I just don't see how we continue the antipathy that Nancy Pelosi has for red states is not faked. She despises us beyond anything we can describe.
Because and of why?
I don't think she likes the independence that we tend to show.
Okay. That would explain why she's not been to Humboldt County in a little bit of time then, too.
Yeah, I don't think she is at all in touch. I guess one thing that I'm having done and I'm having researched and we'll get a white paper out on it is what the net worth of senators before they're elected and after they're elected is the same thing with the congressman. In other words, they go in as, you know, not wealthy, and all of a sudden they're millionaires. And how is that right? So I think it's a big problem.
Right. Well, and I think part of that also, I suspect, is the family income. You know, you hear about, I mean, we can use Dianne Feinstein as a reference. You never hear about her husband until somebody brings something up. It's the occasional once every 3 or 4 year reference rather than, I mean, these guys are really in the elite, a lot of them. And
Dick Blum, is who's Feinstein's husband, is quite wealthy. And boy, a lot of his deals came off government subsidized transactions.
Well, and that's, you know, I think for a lot of us, we would be stunned at the lack of recognition of a conflict of interest. Yeah, it seems so apparent if it's not us. And I don't know why it doesn't translate either into the individual or the secretary of, whoever the legal counsel is for whatever the body is to say, you know, you got a conflict, you're going to have to recuse yourself on this one.
Absolutely. And this isn't hard stuff. These are not, gee, it's a gray area, I'm not sure. This is stuff that doesn't pass the smell test. But the easiest measure is, how'd your net worth go up so much? Why'd it go up so much? You're earning $120,000 a year in government. What happened?
Right, and I don't think the per diem is that high.
No, it's a good per diem, but it's not quite that one.
Yeah. And I don't know if the franking privilege has much benefit or value anymore with everything being electronic.
I think it's hard to be a mail service, a postal service now.
Yeah. Do you sense that with the changes that are going on, are we going to be re-examining a lot of things? I mean, certainly the Postal Service has reinvented themselves significantly. I don't know if it's profitable, but reinvented themselves significantly over the last 4 or 5 months. You know, the deliveries on Sunday and the late night hours and having multiple, you know, one individual being the letter carrier, another being a package deliverer.
I don't think government, particularly the left, wants to learn a damn thing. Do you? I don't think they want to change. They just like it the way it is. They like it inefficient. That's part of the objective. Don't you think?
Well, it seems like you could do things differently and more efficiently if you had carte blanche. You know, if Rob and Brian went in, we would probably end up with a different model for anything. But then you could, some of these folks could come in and say, hey, look, if I was running your radio station, I'd do things a little bit differently too. Well, okay.
Well, I think, fair enough, there's a big difference there. It's yours. You're free to run it as inefficiently as you can convince your creditors to allow you to do so, and your family. But really, here we have Silicon Valley. The technology in Louisiana for the Department of Vehicle Registration is unbelievably better in Louisiana than it is California.
And we'll talk about that difference when we come back. It's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Arkley. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, by Redeck, Humble Termite and Pest Control, Baywood Golf and Country Club, and Murphy's Markets. Rob, you talked about the difference between just simple DMV, and we'll go with our reference rather than Louisiana's reference. It is interesting for me. It seems like California is either on the cutting edge of stuff, and there's some positive things I'm sure we could find, or on the tail end on that spectrum of efficiency. Any idea why? I mean, who would want to run an inefficient organization? I would think anybody would want to run it as efficiently as possible. Is that private sector perspective instead of public sector?
You're ignoring the public employees unions, whose objective is to have more people and less work performed. So I think they're in the business of
Well, which do you think weighs more? I've always had this question. If I can figure out a way as a union guy to have more people employed in the task and more members in my union, I would think that would be a win. So if I can get more efficient with, let's say, if I get a budget of $1, and right now we have 10 people working for that that can be paid out of that dollar. If I can get 11 people or 12 people for that same labor cost because of efficiencies, now I got more membership. I got more people. I'm doing a better job. We're employing more people. What am I missing?
I don't think they think of it that way. I mean, maybe they think of it that way. I'm not quite sure. I don't think they truly get through a lot of these issues. Maybe they do. I just think that government is wholly inefficient. It wants to be inefficient, and that's their model.
So what state are you, when you look at our country, what state is having the most change towards efficiencies in delivering services and the different products that they provide?
Florida and Tennessee.
Why?
The governor of Florida, DeSantis,
yep,
is truly remarkable and has studied the information and data and is really kind of, I think he's terrifically impressive. Tennessee is the biggest hotspot for technology no one's ever heard about. They have no income tax. They have some great universities. And,
there are a lot of people moving there, too.
Oh, yeah. It's a total boom. North Alabama's a boom in medical. So California has, if you're a monopolist, it's really fun, like for Google, Twitter. But overall, California's hemorrhaging. And I don't think they have a model to get out of it. Right now, Newsom seems to be sucking up. You're going to pay. Well, probably not.
With that fiber optic line that's coming to towards Humboldt County. We'll be here, you know, in a couple of years kind of thing. Do you see that some of the economic momentum that's really built Silicon Valley in the South Bay relocating here because of the environment, because of the cost of living, because of the lack of population density? Do you see that that's something that's out there on the horizon that could be a significant change in the in that industry?
Brian, there's a lot more telecommuting from Humboldt County going on than anyone talks about. It's hard to measure, but anecdotally, it's amazing how many people live in Humboldt County and are basically working somewhere else.
So can we accelerate that?
I think we are. I think it's happening. And I think the cable is a big deal. I agree with you on that. I think that's a big deal. But I think Humboldt County has a lot of things going for it right now. And, you know, I see bright sides ahead. We've got to get more rational pricing on homes, but that's where we are.
Right. Well, there's a thought of, shoot, who was it? I was talking to a couple of folks about, well, one of the things that's missing, you know, obviously is the entry level for working folks. Got it. But the lack of condominiums, that there's probably a pretty good chunk of folks who don't want the yard, don't want the upkeep. You know, they want a place that they can start to develop some equity in, but the condominium really is what is geared for what their interest is. You know, not necessarily a one bedroom, but, you know, you'd still have a couple of bedrooms. But that's something that just has never arrived on the North Coast because land historically had been so cheap. Do you think that we're going to see that change also? Because certainly that's a whole different culture than what we've experienced here in the past.
You see, I don't know about condos. Our problem now is there just isn't that much developable land. And if there is developable land, it doesn't have the infrastructure in place to do it.
Right.
And so we're kind of caught. I think if your time horizon is 15 to 20 years, you're in a happy place. If your time horizon is 3 to 5, I think it's pretty hard. But one thing the city of Eureka seems to have done is allow mother-in-law units. They've waived all those in.
Right.
And so we're getting a lot more density in downtown. And
I suppose that's not a bad thing. You know, I mean, if we can have more people, maybe something happens on the weekends other than, you know, Arts Alive or, you know, the occasional thing.
But well, it's pretty hard to have things happen on the weekends when they'd have the damn restaurants closed.
Yeah. There is a connection there,
sorry,
isn't there?
That was a cheap shot I couldn't resist.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Arkley. Rob, now that the tenor has kind of been set a little bit and the dust is starting to settle, what are you going to be looking for in the economy in the next 3 or 4 months? I mean, you had mentioned the shutdowns and the governmental edicts with the virus. Is that the number one thing? Is that going to be the focus for the next little bit, or are there other things out there that you're watching also?
You know what's going to be interesting is state-by-state moratoriums on foreclosures and evictions are rolling off, and everyone's on a little different timeline. That is going to be a big deal, and it's going to be politically charged because no one knows how many evictions there are going to be. No one knows how many mortgages are in default because the tenant couldn't pay. No one knows all this stuff. And so it's going to ripple through. You know, I was on a call the other day with a regulator that shall go unnamed, and they were saying, you know, the banks are super well capitalized,
right?
But they see big pain coming.
And when John was with us, he said, you know, the last year, because of a lot of the payments have been forgiven or haven't been required, nobody really knows what's going on.
Well, the banks have been living off sugar high from
right.
PPP and Main Street. I mean, if you didn't coin money as a bank this year, you better sell. So,
yeah.
Anyone
yeah.
hear me?
Yeah.
It was an easy year for banks to make money, but no one knows where the bottom is,
right?
And whether it's going to be absorbed. Housing rates are going drifting downwards, but not dramatically. The 10-year spiked up some. So if rates go up, it will change this national economy dramatically.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of risk. I mean, I think the one thing you can bet on, Brian, is a lot of regulation. A lot of regulation. And no end in sight.
So right. And that doesn't come for free. That doesn't come free either. So.
Well, it does to the people making it.
Well, granted. But, you know, when you've got those extra costs, you know, somebody's got to pay the bill. Kind of the same thought with a lot of the largesse that's been coming around the last 8-9 months too. That to me is one of the big ones that's out there. Is okay, now what? Now we got things happening, but we got this huge debt, and how are you going to pay for this one, guys? You know, everybody can't go with the California model, or we're going to push more people overseas. It'll be interesting to see how they try to bob and weave through that.
Well, I don't think, I mean, Biden's going to try to open up the international globalism, but I think you're going to see 75 million Americans voted for Trump, which is America First. I don't think the Democrat Biden did get 80 million votes, not a chance. And so,
yeah. I think there's going to be a resurgence of the made in America. I think that that's going to be there, and how we get more of that product out on the shelves. I think is one of those interesting areas that we'll see develop as the year progresses. So, alrighty, bud. We'll get out there, have some fun, enjoy Louisiana. We'll talk to you in a little bit, huh?
All right, bud. Take care. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye. See you tomorrow.